You tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I am your host, Sarah Jane. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer, and I continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a guest on the show to discuss different parts of the beer world, from brewers, importers, educators. This will allow us to examine the dynamic world of beer through different lenses. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. So welcome back to Beer Me. We took a little break last week for the snow incident that happened in Washington, D.C. And by snow incident, I mean a whopping 4 inches. With the partial government shutdown, this includes the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, the TTB. And with the TTB, brewers need to make payments, submit new labels and formulas for approval, file other operational costs, pay taxes. And with the TTB not being able to respond, there are a lot of new beers that are waiting approval so that brewers can sell these beers, and they're just sitting there. Calling in on the show, I have Cody Wilson. He's the brand ambassador from Prairie Artisan Ales, and Wade Pierce, who's the social media director from Prairie Artisan Ales. And for those of you who don't know, Prairie is out of Oklahoma. I believe you guys have two locations in Tulsa and Oklahoma City.
We actually have three locations. So our main production is in Krebs, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. We have a brew pub in Tulsa, and then we have a tap room in Oklahoma City.
Congratulations. So when you all opened in 2012, the thing that I love about Prairie is that you all have a really amazing selection of beer as far as just a really diverse kind of collection of styles that you all do, and really, really cool can art.
Well, thank you.
So the reason why I'm having you two specifically call in is, one, an excuse to talk to you all because I love Prairie, but two, very recently, on the 6th of January, Prairie tweeted, "Hey, at Real Donald Trump, we are an American-owned company and we want to distribute a new beer, but the shutdown includes the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, so we currently can't move forward. Please help. The people want the beer. Hashtag beer 2020. And you all got an incredible response from a lot of different people, just as diverse as your beer selection.
Yeah, and the hashtag hasn't caught on. I haven't gotten any momentum behind beer 2020 as a serious candidate. But yeah, it was quite the response to that tweet.
So what is the current situation, you know, kind of walk people through what's going on, what's that really look like to just have beer sitting waiting for approval?
Well, a lot of times the beer, for us, these labels get, if you're going to release a new beer, then you have to have the label approved. They want to make sure that you have the alcohol content and the ingredients listed on there. If you've got a beer with nuts in it, for example, they want to make sure that you have nuts on there so that someone that's allergic can be. It's all just some government oversight that is. It's pretty basic, and it usually takes a couple of weeks to get that approval through. And the shutdown came right at a time when we specifically had a new stout coming out, a brownie beer called O Fudge, and So we had the beer. We'd already made the beer. Sort of how it works is the beer's in process, and the label at a lot of times is just a formality.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, we can't get over that last little hump. But the beer, the beer's already made and sitting in tanks, ready to be packaged.
I gotcha. So, and while this is sitting, for some beers, it would affect, the quality or the taste of the beer, but also this is taking up space, which is money for breweries.
Yeah, agreed. And that's what I think, a lot of the response was, is like people looking up on Beer Advocate or any of those other websites that says how many beers we actually have. And one of my favorite things was, you have 270 beers listed on Beer Advocate. Why don't you just make something else? And I think what a lot of people don't understand was, these beer, like Wade said, was already in the process of being made, planned out. And then, unfortunately, the shutdowns just kind of stopped it right there.
You can't move another beer forward. The tank is full with this beer. You don't have, it's just like, let's just pour this out and put something else in there to package.
Yeah, that's a very expensive choice there. A lot of people don't realize that it's not just labels, but it's also the keg collars. And this is the kind of paper part that you typically find on the top of the keg, explaining, all the information that you would typically find on the bottle, or some of it is condensed. But, you can't even ship it or sell it in draft. I think the only way you could sell it would be in your tap room, correct?
Yeah, within the state. I think there's mm-hmm. something in there about you can't sell it over state lines. So I think we could technically bottle it and just distribute it in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I'm sure the amount that you've made and the plans that you've made for the beer and, how that factors into your financial planning for the year, that won't work.
Correct. And with our main facility being in Krebs, Oklahoma, currently moving over to McAlester, so we're expanding from a 5,000-square-foot brewery to a 52,000-square-foot brewery. So we have quite a bit of tanks that had quite a bit of beer in it for the O-Fudge. Our home state just couldn't take where we see distribution.
Yeah, you guys distribute to over, 25 states and all around the world, correct?
Yeah, we've actually hit 40 states. Mm-hmm. And someone actually counted the countries that we've seen in, but we don't really have a way to track every country that it goes to, but we've counted 40 countries as well.
And you're brewing accordingly. There have been a lot of issues with that with the local breweries here in D.C. In fact, Atlas Brew Works here in D.C. last week sued the federal government, basically arguing that the failure to approve labels on kegs, as I mentioned, the keg collar, of craft beer equates to an attack on its right to free speech.
Wow, I was unaware of that. And how is that reaction from D.C. going?
It's still pretty fresh. Basically, it's just the information is out there. I don't know how they're faring. And as somebody who has no law background in any way, shape, or form, I'm not sure, how that will pan out. Listeners who have any law background, I would be very happy to, hear your thoughts on that or your feedback. But it's, they definitely, took the next step there. So, and for those of you just tuning in, I've Prairie Art is Nails calling in. This is Cody Wilson, the brand ambassador, and Wade Pierce, the social media director. So let's get back to the tweet. So you tweeted out, hey, the real Donald Trump, we have all these beers waiting. We can't move forward because of the TTB. And like I said, you got this huge response from all these people. And I got to say, Wade, are you the one who is responding to all of these tweets? Are you the only one? Are you the only one doing that?
Yep, just me.
So you handled every single response with such grace. Even the ones that were absolutely ridiculous, you gave them their, yes, we hear you, but we're moving on. It was this very kind of graceful ballet through this deluge of ridiculous, just as ridiculous as Twitter can be, as you all could imagine. So well done, sir.
Thank you. It did not take, it definitely takes some deep breaths at times to look at some of these people. A lot of times, though, you know, you go and you look at someone and you'll go to their profile and they'll have 700 tweets, 2 followers, and, you know, they're following 6 people. And I'm not well versed enough to know if these are bots or, you know, whatever these, but it's just, they're accounts that aren't really, you know, they exist so that these people can comment on things that they don't really want to have their real name associated with. So there's not really any winning against that kind of person. So basically if I'm jumping in there on those tweets, if it's someone like that that I don't really want to have a conversation with and they're kind of being irrational, then it's my goal as a social media guy is to end that thread as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And how did you get into the role as social media director? Is this something, did you specifically like set out into the world to, you know, be in marketing or PR and focus your studies on that? You know, how did you come about this?
No, actually I was, I like talking to people. I like social media, but mm-hmm. I have a business background. I used to be a consultant and then I went back to school and got my MBA. And while I was working on my MBA, I was just bartending at Prairie for fun. I thought it'd be fun. I like the beer and I really enjoyed being around it. When I finished my MBA, I enjoyed the company so much and being around the people so much and the industry. I love, you know, beer people and other breweries and I just like being around the atmosphere. So I sort of created the role for myself with Prairie and tried to, you know, we didn't have one person. It was sort of by committee that we were handling social media before. And that's tough. It's tough to do kind of to drive a big strategy on social media if you've got a whole bunch of people working on it.
Yeah, there needs to be one very clear, consistent voice. And so you handle all of their social media then, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
Okay. And so you also got a response that I really like here. It is from @BigMcLargeHuge. Which, great handle there, nerd. And the response was, there is more pressing issues than getting neckbeard alcoholics their pick-me-up. Which, I gotta say, as somebody who used to run a craft beer bar, the fuck there isn't. Those neckbeard alcoholics are committed, and they need their beer stat, specifically limited special release. And this actually prompted a new beer for you all, correct?
It prompted a new beer name for us. It wasn't a beer that we made specifically for this guy, but there were a lot of responses. One of the responses, you know, one of the big complaints is that we tweeted just at Donald Trump and not at Nancy Pelosi and not the other side of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And so someone called us Prairie Partisan Ales, which I thought was an amazing comment. I love that one. But yeah, this one was pretty funny. And he ended it with an LMAO, which is laughing my ass off to the layperson. And so I also laughed my ass off, and we were kind of going through it at the brewery and actually made a list of all these responses of things that would make funny beer names, and that one won.
So the beer name is called Neckbeard Alcoholic.
That's right. Yep. It's a stout with lager yeast. It's available in the tap room in Oklahoma City.
What's the ABV?
I think it's around 13%.
Okay, that's what I'm picturing then, which is great. Yeah, you don't want to make a neckbeard alcoholic anything, you know, anything below 7%, right?
We'll do a big beer.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cody Wilson and Wade Pierce from Prairie Artisan Ales.
Up all night with the same thing in my head, just wanting you here next to me. It's been a long time, don't you agree? You can turn it all around if you say to me.
Welcome back to Beer Me, recorded live on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane, and I'm on the line with Cody Wilson, brand ambassador, and Wade Pierce, social media director, both from Prairie Artisan Ales. Thank you, gentlemen, again for calling in this morning.
Sure.
So we were just talking about kind of the tweets back and forth and all of these things. Something that I really want to dive into and discuss is the fact that breweries now have to have people handling social media and PR. This obviously didn't used to be a thing, and this is, you know, all businesses now have to have some kind of social media presence. And, you know, Cody, you've, I'm assuming, you know, worked in beer for a while, yes?
Yes.
And this is a shift on how important this is. And the person who is speaking for your brewery, I mean, this person needs to be eloquent, they need to have excellent writing skills, you know, they need to have a clear idea of how these systems work and how to best benefit the brewery. So you're very lucky that you have Wade. But you know, kind of what does that shift look like in the requirements for breweries?
I mean, really kind of everything you just summed up. I don't envy Wade. It is a hard job, and I'm horrible at it. I respond just kind of in a smart aleck way, short and kind of to the point. And Wade gets a lot more creative with it. And people quickly notice. I mean, you know, they'll respond and then make something else, you know, like, well, don't expect Prairie to respond anytime soon. And that was for the longest time, kind of our approach was just, I mean, because people can really, the comfort level on social media is almost ridiculous, the fact that they can say anything they want and just kind of get away with it. Because no one just walks into a storefront and just shouts something and what kind of walks out without, you know, without waiting for a response. But that's kind of how social media is. And I think, you know, quickly when Wade got the job, he kind of texted me one time. He's like, you just opened the gates.
Like, what happened?
I just responded to a guy and I, you know, and I shouldn't have. And then it created, you know, 13 more comments and then everyone else jumped in. And I mean, sometimes I just need to stay off the internet for Prairie. But I respond as me, you know, as Cody Wilson, not as Prairie Artisan Ales. And then Wade has to get on there as Prairie Artisan Ales and kind of just be like, yeah, so this is how this is going to go down.
Easy, Cody.
But I mean, from a brewery's perspective, are there certain decisions made based on the fact that you have to account for social media? I mean, are there certain events that you have to alter because you're worried about the response, or are there, you know, certain beers or certain, you know, label names, or are there any decisions that are affected by, okay, well, how will this react on social media, or do you just kind of go triumphantly forward and deal with whatever, you know, repercussions?
Yeah, we don't. The social media side doesn't really dictate the business moves yet. It influences kind of future things based on feedback. Mm-hmm. It is a great place. I mean, it's a great tool to be able to amass a lot of opinions all at once. I mean, not necessarily on the tweet that we've been talking about, this political one, but the, you know, we'll do a beer release and someone will be unhappy about, you know, a way that something went, and we can, you know, adjust and, you know, maybe we'll sell tickets to the next one instead of having everyone wait outside in the rain. You know, there's good suggestions that come out of it, but I think it influences sort of future decisions more than, you know, doing anything based on, you know, the fear of a social media backlash or anything like that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you guys are great. You know, you're not naming your beers anything offensive or doing anything, you know, ridiculous like that. And you all don't strike me as the attention getting, you know, let's just do this for the hype of it kind of people. So, you know, that's a good thing.
I just want to make cool beer.
I just want to make cool beer. This is it. And I feel, you know, I talked to a couple brewers and, you know, that's the thing. They just want to make cool beer. That's all. And now because of the, you know, current situation, everybody has to have somebody handling their social media. Everybody has to, you know, kind of consider it and, you know, constantly update the public on what's going on and post pictures a certain amount of times. And, you know, I think it's a stress that, you know, on top of running a business is just kind of one more thing piled on.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for it because I have a job because of it. I think that, you know, it does take a lot of time and a lot of organization to make sure I've posted on the different media. You know, I've got a post from, we've got three different Instagram accounts for the four different, you know, for like an overall page and then a production facility page. And, you know, there's a lot that people want to see different parts of your business. And that's kind of just the world we live in, where everyone gets to see behind the curtain a little bit, and everybody wants to be involved and you know, have their opinion heard. And so, like I said, I'm thankful for it because it means I have a job. But it's pretty much I have not really had a day off. You know, you got to post a picture on Christmas Day. You want to have one with the tree in the background. You got to have mm-hmm. a picture with your beer being consumed at Thanksgiving. You know, with the big turkey dinner in front of it. So there's definitely it's pretty consuming. It's a lot of time, because you want to be consistent, and you want to be, you know, kind of constantly there for the customers to be able to see what you're working on.
Yeah. And I mean, as somebody who is not talented at all with social media, in fact, for this podcast, all I can muster is one Instagram account, and I can barely keep up with that because, you know, it's just so not in my skill set whatsoever. You know, even anytime I get a comment or anytime someone sends me a message, I want to respond promptly. You know, and it's one of those things where kind of no matter what I'm doing, I'll stop and respond. And, you know, for you to say, if you were here, you could have seen my face, you know, four to five Instagram accounts sounds like, you know, some level of hell to me. So I'm so proud of you.
It is one of the rings of hell. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for calling in and taking some time to answer some questions, and keep up the good work. And, you know, hopefully we can see some new beers released soon. But otherwise, I mean, if anybody, there is Prairie, Artisan Ales all over DC. It's widely available, for the most part. And you know, if you see it, just scoop it up, because it'll be good, I promise you. Something that is kind of cool going on in DC right now is called Pay It Furloughed. So Al Goldberg, he is the Mess Hall founder. It's a food incubator. And Nevin Martelli is a local food writer. Put together this website where you can go online. It's payitfurloughed.com. And you can buy a beer for somebody who is experiencing not being able to go to work and not being paid during the government shutdown. Each beer is $7.50. And then they can go to a participating brewery. The breweries that are participating right now are Atlas Brewworks, DC Brow, Three Stars, and Shop Made in DC. And with their ID, as well as being over 21, they can get a free beer. So definitely go on that website and buy beer for people who, you know, are out of work right now, because it's the right thing to do.
Agreed.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you again. I greatly appreciate it. And let us know if you're ever in the DC area.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, this has been Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recorded live at the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. I am your host, Sarah Jane. You can find this podcast anywhere you normally get podcasts. Check us out on Instagram at Beer Me Radio. And feel free to email with any questions, comments, lawyers out there. I'd love to hear your input at beermeradio@gmail.com. Thank you all so much. See you next week. Cheers.